Now I want to take you back in time over 3,000 years. The Israelites are in slavery. It's really tough for them. They're feeling sad and very, very discouraged. And they're multiplying. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, is getting concerned. There's too many of them. They're getting too strong. He's worried that they're going to rise up and fight for their freedom. So King Pharaoh, he issues a terrifying decree. He wants the midwives to get rid of all of the Hebrew baby boys. Now, thankfully, there's two very godly midwives called Shifra and Puah, and they disobey the Pharaoh. They fear God more than they fear Pharaoh, and they let the little baby boys live. So a godly woman, a godly Levite woman called Jochebed, a slave woman, was staring down at her third child. It was a beautiful, beautiful baby boy. But there was a bit of an issue. As his lungs were getting stronger, his cries were getting louder, and it was getting harder and harder to hide him. And she was having a think, and she got some wisdom from God. The little baby was now 3 months old. It was getting too loud. She had to take decisive action. And obviously, last week we remember that Jill told us, he who hesitates is lost. She knew she had to act quickly. So with God's wisdom, she went and she got a papyrus basket that might have looked a little bit like this one. If you look underneath, it's covered in pitch and tar to make it watertight. Okay, now it's likely that she probably would have covered the whole basket in pitch and tar. We've only got the bottom covered today. But she then laid the baby in the basket. She was trusting God. Now, if we look at Egyptian photos of baskets in those days, they usually had a lid. And I've got a lid here, which I'm going to put on top of the little baby. Here we are. And this would have had quite a few good effects, because what it would have done is it would have hidden the baby from view. It would have muffled his cries, and maybe it would have protected his little tiny eyes from the bright Egyptian sunshine as well. So then she took the basket and she went down to the River Nile. Now this is your bit, you want to stand up. You stand up. Could everyone be a bull rush? If you don't have a bull rush, you can be a bull rush, and you can be a bull rush by going like this. That's the way to be a bull rush. Okay, fantastic. And she placed the basket into the bulrushes at the side of the river. She was trusting God to keep the baby safe. There we are. So there it is, nice and safe, anchored into the bulrushes. And she got her oldest child, Miriam, to have a look and keep an eye. She was peering through the bulrushes. She was keeping a watchful eye over the basket there to see what happened to it. So I'm wondering, what kind of creatures would have been around the Nile? We've already spoken about the Nile perch and crocodiles, but I'm wondering what else. There might have been some kingfishers that might have perched onto The bulrushes. I wonder what else. Oh, we've spoken about the crocodile, the Nile crocodile. Now, there aren't that many Nile crocodiles in Egypt. But in those days, there would have been a lot more, and they would have lurked around with their really sharp teeth. What else, I wonder? Oh, some hippos. Yes, some hippos in the Nile. What else? And we've got at the top, that's our Nile perch. Obviously, they grow to huge proportions, as do tiger fish. And you can see the tiger fish up at the bottom there with its really sharp, rather scary teeth. And we've got catfish as well. So all these things would have been in and around the Nile, but God kept the basket really, really safe from all these potential predators. Okay. Now, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Here she is. Look at her. Oh, yes. Beautiful jewellery, lovely finery. Okay. This is her slave girl. There we are. And she went into the Nile to bathe. I think God was protecting her from the crocodiles, don't you think? She is. She goes, she's going to have a little bathe. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her female slave to get it for her. Careful of the crocodile. Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket and she saw the baby. And can you imagine her surprise? The baby started to cry right on cue. Isn't it amazing how God works sometimes? Just in those tiny little details. And there she is, she's picking him up. Her heart was filled with compassion and motherly love.
This is one of the Hebrew babies.
Miriam, who'd been watching this whole scene unfold from her hiding place amongst the reeds, got up and she went to Pharaoh's daughter.
Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?
Yes, go.
So Miriam went and she got her mother, the baby's mother.
Oh. Take this baby and nurse him for me. I'll pay you.
Oh. So the baby's own mother and father got to look after their own child for a few years. They got to pray with him and they got to teach him all about God before they took him back to the palace. And Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and he became her son. Obviously, would be a bit older than this by then. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, in the palace, he would have received the best education in the land. And he would have been learning leadership skills and military skills, which, along with the nurture and God education that he'd had in those early years with his biological parents, all came in very handy, obviously, later on in his story. So, of course, Moses was an Old Testament hero who would later lead his people out of slavery and towards the Promised Land. God had a plan for his life, and we can see how God protected Moses every step of the way for his purpose. And how ironic that one of the Hebrew babies that Pharaoh was trying to get rid of would end up living in Pharaoh's palace as his grandson. But hey, God works like that, doesn't he? Can we give our children a big clap? Thank you. Give Miriam a big clap. We'll give Pharaoh's daughter and the slave girl a big clap. And you guys can all put your bulrushes down and go and sit down. story today, there were a number of very strong and courageous and compassionate females, weren't there? There were the midwives who refused to obey Pharaoh. There was Jochebed, Moses' biological mother, who acted swiftly to protect him. There was Miriam, who, although that she was Moses' sister, she took on a motherly role and she protected and watched over him in the river. And then there was Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' adoptive mother. They all had a part to play in ensuring Moses' survival. So what about you? If for whatever reason you find Mother's Day a difficult day, God sees your pain and he wants to keep you under his wing today. For those of you who are biological mothers or mothers through adoption or kinship carers or special guardians, God sees the joys and the challenges you face. The late nights, the early starts, the mental load that you carry. The food you lovingly prepare, the love, care and guidance and nurture that you give your family day in and day out, and he wants to bless you. For the ladies here who don't have children, could you be a spiritual parent or a mother figure to a child in our gathering? If you're not already, could you help in junior church or creche, for example? Or could you commit to praying for a child regularly every day? That would be amazing. And I'm sure the family would really, really appreciate that. For adult children who are caring for elderly mothers and fathers, God sees you. If you're a husband or a father here today, God sees the love and support and guidance that you give your wife and your children, and he honors you. If you are a child here today who has younger brothers or sisters, be a role model to them. And to all children here today, obey and love your parents and make sure you give your mum a special hug today. Thank you.